Way down upon the Suwannee River, the silt of Dixie politics oozes along the Delta bottoms, deepening the gulf between the rich and the poor by a broader margin each year. Remember? It had always been this way. Until now. Until this long, hot summer, following the assassination of Liberal President John F. Kennedy. Until this new, great Southern agitation in the heat of these long, dark nights. In this freedom summer of 1964. Hello, I'm Haunani Singer, and this is From the Vault, the Pacifica Radio Archive series that brings our history out of the vault and onto the radio. In the summer of 1964, black voters in the southern U.S. were to alter forever the oppressive rule that had dominated their lives since the end of the Civil War. They would march, they would demand, they would desegregate, they would vote, and some would die. But they would overcome. This week, Pacifica Radio Archives presents the actual voices from this turbulent time in U.S. history. 40 years later, with recent allegations of voter fraud in two presidential elections, a review of this story seems in order. It is best told directly in the first person, and it is best heard directly by you. This is not an echo. This is the Pacifica Radio Archives. This is From the Vault. Ladies and gentlemen, Mississippi Freedom Summer.
About 192 Negroes were registered on the average a month in the state of Mississippi, all over the state, 192 a month. Now, on the basis of this rate of registration, it would take exactly 135 years for half of the Negroes eligible to vote in Mississippi to become registered. Now, we aren't willing to wait 135 years to get rid of the injustices that cloud our
vote. No, no!
Yes, man, he says, what taught you the notion of wanting to register? And I said, well, I said, after I noticed in these other countries and around in places that people is registering, I said that I wanted to register too, to be a citizen. I done live here this long. And I said, and I want to make things better.
And we are saying to Mississippi, give us the ballot. Give us the ballot and we will transform the salient misdeeds of bloodthirsty mob into the calculated good deeds of orderly citizens. Give us the ballot. We will send to the state houses all over the South governors who will do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Give us the ballot. And we will end the long night of segregation. Give us the ballot.
They talk about trouble I've had all my days. Trouble, had it all my days. Seem like trouble gonna carry me to my grave.
Mississippi Freedom Summer, a Pacifica Archives retrospective.
Exactly why he is, it's going to be kind of rough. If I tell him about going to vote, it's going to be
in
rough.
In breaking the chains of political stranglehold on you, you helped to bring Mississippi into the 20th century, where it faces the fact that we are living in an atomic age and not a horse and buggy or an ox cart age.
In 1876, Rutherford B. Hayes, the newly elected president of the United States, ordered the withdrawal of federal troops from the South. That order, for all practical purposes, ended black participation in the political structure of Mississippi. With the troops gone and Reconstruction crumbling, white Mississippians began a counter-revolution. The goal, to prevent blacks from going to the polls and to consolidate white political power. The plan was simple: rigid voter registration requirements that included poll taxes and literacy tests, enforced by beatings, lynchings, and arson. In 1901, the last black congressman from the South left the House of Representatives. By 1920, Mississippi and the South had succeeded in completely excluding blacks from participation in the democratic process.
The lily-white Southern governments,
Roy Wilkins, local and state, NAACP Executive
Senators,
Director,
the governors, the state legislators, the mayors, the judges, the sheriffs, the chiefs of police, the commissioners, and all the rest. And not content with mere disfranchisement, the office holders have used unbridled political power to fabricate a maze of laws and customs and economic practices which has imprisoned the Negro.
In a 1963 report, the Mississippi Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights called the state a closed society that denies the Negro rights from the day he is born in a segregated hospital to the day he dies and is laid to rest in a cemetery for Negroes only.
A resolution of tribute to the Democratic Party of the state of Mississippi. We believe in separation of the races in all phases of our society. It is our belief that the separation of the races is necessary for the peace and tranquility of all the people of Mississippi.
As the civil rights movement gained steam in the early 1960s, civil rights organizers increasingly realized that few gains could be made without opening up the political process to blacks. In February 1964, civil rights groups, led by the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Congress of Racial Equality, designed a campaign for that summer to register blacks in Mississippi. Mississippi was chosen because of its universal reputation as the toughest nut to crack in the fight against segregation. Aaron Henry, state NAACP director.
Of around 69,000 people, Negro people that had gone down to try to register, around 6,000 or 7,000 had gotten by, which was a terrible batting average.
Since the regular state Democratic Party in Mississippi maintained a rigid whites-only policy, it was necessary for civil rights organizers to establish an alternative political structure. The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party was formally constituted on April 26th in Jackson, Mississippi. It would be independent from the state party, yet would be loyal to the national party, an attempt to spur the Democrats to put into practice their professed belief in civil rights and social reform.
The recognition of white and Negro citizens,
Reverend Martin Luther King,
who seek to realize the democratic process within their home state is essential to the moral health of this party and this nation.
It won't be long for election time. Democrats be in. I know I get shoes, I get clothes. When the Democrats get back in again. Vote them in. You vote them in.
To register blacks and build the new party, a national call went out for volunteers. By June, more than 700, mostly young middle-class whites from northern college campuses, responded and had come south. For their part, white officials in Mississippi were alarmed. They saw the Freedom Party as a threat to their power and privilege. White resistance intensified.
You and I and others throughout the nation.
Mississippi Governor Ross Barnett.
Communist front organizations recently. Demonstrators, sit-in strikers, hoodlums and left-wingers, freedom riders and such groups as that. But thank God, most of them get in jail when they come to Jackson.
Perhaps no other event shocked and stirred the conscience of the nation during the Mississippi Freedom Summer Campaign than the murder of three civil rights workers with the complicity of Neshoba County officials.
Holy Father, we commit ourselves to thy keeping and guidance.
The agony at the funeral of one of the slain civil rights workers.
Paying our tribute of respect to the bereaved family and to the memory of the deceased who lost his life in battle, given it that others might live a happy and a free life.
We want our freedom now. I don't want to have to go to another memorial. I'm tired of funerals. Tired of it. You got to stand up.
The deaths of the three civil rights workers focused the eyes of the world on Mississippi. Their murders gave added momentum to the drive to organize the Freedom Party. Organizers now hoped they'd be able to challenge the seating of the state's regular party delegates at the upcoming Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City. The key, though, was to get a massive black registration that would break the stranglehold of political and legal segregation. A mock election called the Freedom Ballot was held to encourage registration while giving blacks a sense of political independence. Aaron Henry.
We chose the Freedom Ballot activity as a method to dramatize that if Negroes were given the right to register, that they would accept it. And as it turned out, when this right was given, unapprehended to a degree, of course, we had quite a bit of intimidation by the police department and other members of the power white structure. As it turned out, however, there were between 80 and 90,000 people that did participate in this particular activity, which gave to us a real feeling of having been right in our continued position that if Negroes were given the right to register, that they would accept it.
To the simple black farmhands and laborers, the vote represented the first real opportunity to improve their living conditions and break the chains of the centuries-old racial abuse they suffered.
Of course, folks will have a right just like they have, and they'll have to get up and go to work and do just like we do. That's why they're all upset to death. They'll tend to their own babies and have jobs to go down to the school, working in other places, to the other places where they got shops and things to work, where they have to go. If they got a baby, they have to tend to them themselves. They won't send that out here and get me. Again, they make $200 a month and give me $12 a week, see. And then when we gather the crop, they take, they give you nothing for the cotton. Take it all. You don't have anything. Just a hard way to go. I could just leave here if I could get a better way. I'm so tired. I'm waiting to get so old and can't do nothing much. It's rough to live where I've been all my life. It's really rough. And if I could find a better place, I would just rather be there. I would like to have other things. I would like to have a good job where I could work decent. Nice, wouldn't have to work so hard. And then I'd like to have some money, some time. That's why I would like to work some. Then I would just like to, when I go downtown, just go in any place I want to, the cafe, any cafe that I desire to go in. I would like to do that, but I can't do that.
Well, they talk about trouble I've had all my days. Trouble, had it all my days. Seem like trouble gonna carry me to my grave.
Throughout the summer of 1964, the new party conducted a freedom registration. The campaign, as expected, met with complete opposition by the state's regular Democratic Party. With resources scarce and the threat of physical violence always present, organizers began the hard, painstaking work of going door to door, cabin to cabin, explaining the program of the MFDP and urging blacks to register.
The main thing that we've been doing is going around to people's houses in cars and trying to explain to them all about the Freedom Democratic Party.
What kind of success have you had?
Well, that varies very much by the area. You see, some areas have already had a lot of work done before and have people in them that have been involved in the movement for some time. Now, in these areas, we can go around people's houses, and they will usually want to become members immediately as soon as they find out about it.
There have been some freedom days held, which are days on which you get some people to picket the courthouse while others line up to attempt to register. There has been some just general taking down of people to the courthouse. And then there's the canvassing, where you try to convince people to go down.
Holmes County, where they only had 3 Negroes registered to vote. And we sat there one day, a couple of weeks ago, and talked to a group of farmers, simple men. They didn't have any degrees. They didn't have any complex protection or big economic reserves. And those simple and humble men got up from that place and went downtown within 15 minutes. We're standing in front of the courthouse with a line straight on out into the street trying to register to vote. That was the first time in modern history that Negroes in those numbers had tried to register right over there in Holmes County.
Professor James Silver noted in his book, The Closed Society, if Negro suffrage ever became widespread, there is little doubt that the white supremacists would be in trouble. To prevent blacks from voting, white Mississippians used 2 favorite devices, the poll tax and the literacy test. The registrar, whose discretionary powers are virtually unlimited, decides whether the applicant is qualified to vote.
The day I went to register, it was 2 of us that went. So we got in there early that morning. And I said, out there, just about time they begin to close the office, just about 4 o'clock. Or 4:30, and then the man, he come out on the porch and he begged for me, and I went. He said, what you doing sitting out there under the tree? Well, see, that's where they had told us to go, under the tree. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I was sitting out there trying to get a reservation blank. And he said, well, what you gonna do with it? I said, I want to reddish. He said, reddish for what? I said, well, I want to be a citizen and I want to vote. I was first have to register, and so he said, vote for what? And I said, vote for anything, just like that. I know, you know. And so we asked a lot of questions, then we went on in.
Gentlemen, proceed with lighting the cross. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, if you look directly behind the speaker's platform, you will see the cross.
It's about time that we as white people would stand up and say that we have enough.
The voter registration campaign was not the only way that the nation learned about the Mississippi way of life that summer. The Southern Regional Council reported that 64 known acts of race-related violence in the state had been recorded from January 1961 through March 1963. During the summer of 1964, 33 churches were burned, and there were hundreds of arrests and countless beatings and shootings.
The sheriff visited. Well, he walks in. I was sitting inside my home. He walks in with his hat on, with little guns on his side. He says, Steptoe, don't you know you're gonna get killed? I said, yeah, Sheriff. I said, I know that. I know my life is overdue. I said, I know I supposed to have been killed. He said, well, Steptoe, what would it profit you to lose your life in a case like this? I said, well, it wouldn't mean nothing to me at my age to lose my life when the children and the unborn generation will profit by me losing my life.
In Mr. Steptoe's county, there was what one would have to call a reign of terror, which existed in that county for a period of 5 months. That is a reign of terror more unusual than that which exists in the counties of Mississippi and even in the Klan-dominated counties during most of the time. And it was a period in which Negroes, Saturday night after Saturday night, and for some reason they choose Saturday night, were dragged out of their homes, taken into the countryside, and beaten by armed men.
Let's understand that right over here, some 19 miles out of Jackson, right in the city of Canton, 5 young people five young people, each of them under 30 years of age, were shot at and some of them shot down right in the city streets with the sun just going down over the back of the cotton fields. Just 19 miles from Jackson. The sheriff, Ben Noble, and his deputy were standing 30 feet away, and they watched the whole incident and didn't make any arrest and allowed the man to go back into the store and reload his shotgun and come back out again without ever interrupting. That's the kind of law enforcement you've got in Mississippi.
Bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves, and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree.
It won't be long for election time. Democrats be in. I know I get shoes, I get clothes. When the Democrats get back in again.
Despite the wholesale intimidation and harassment, the Freedom Democratic Party recruited more than 100,000 new black registrants at summer's end. Most were registered under the MFDP label. This gave the party both the impetus and the strength to challenge the seating of the regular Democratic Party delegates at the Democratic Convention in Atlantic City. The challenge would be the first real national political test of the viability of black-white coalition politics. The Democratic Credentials Committee, which would decide the issue, held hearings on the challenge and heard testimony both for and against. Dr. King.
The seating of the delegation from the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party has political and moral significance far beyond the borders of Mississippi, or the halls of this convention, or the shores of this nation. For here, the very idea of representative government is at stake. The extension and preservation of freedom around the world depends on its unequivocal presence within our borders. The recognition of white and Negro citizens who seek to realize the democratic process within their home state is essential to the moral health of this party and this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you value your party, if you value your nation, if you value the future of democratic government, you have no alternative but to recognize with full voice and vote the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party.
Under no circumstances, and I repeat, under no circumstances shall this great conservative bloc be split asunder.
Mississippi Governor Paul Johnson.
I cannot overemphasize this fact, that if Mississippi is to survive the current assault upon her sovereignty and the constitutional rights of her citizens, a single united front must be maintained at all costs. Political structure dominated by the responsible conservative majority, which now controls all our state and local governments, is the most potent weapon in our hands. This political structure must remain intact.
The outcome was a bitter disappointment to supporters. The 60-odd Freedom Party delegates refused to accept a compromise offered by the National Party, the seating of two of their members at large, and a promise that the next convention would require a pledge of non-discrimination from regular delegations. MFDP supporters regarded the compromise as a sacrifice of black political rights and progressive reform on the narrow altar of national party unity, a unity based on accommodating segregationist Southern Democrats. The National Democratic Party saw it differently.
I think that there has been great progress
Democratic
over
National
what
Committee
they
Woman,
were willing
Edith Green.
To give on Sunday afternoon at the first executive meeting of the Credentials Committee. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And the fact that there are members of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party on the floor of the convention is evidence of it. So in this respect, we should really be very happy over the victory that has been obtained.
How successful was the Mississippi Summer?
We certainly have, I think, have had some success in organizing the Freedom Democratic Party and in bringing the whole civil rights movement into giving it a concrete political expression, which I think is one of the most important things that's been done this summer. We've had some success.
As for the MFDP itself, it did make the country take notice. Practically, it laid the groundwork for passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, outlawing the use of literacy tests and the poll tax. By the end of 1965, nearly a million blacks had registered throughout the Deep South. In political terms, the Freedom Party forced a major confrontation with Southern and national politics.
That the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party,
SNCC organizer Ella Baker,
will not end at the convention. The Mississippi Freedom The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party is only beginning, and it is beginning on the basis that it believes that a political party should be open to all the people who wish to subscribe to its principles. I consider this a demonstration on the part of the people of Mississippi that they are determined to be a part of the body politic of this country.
About troubles I've had all my days. Trouble, had it all my days. Seem like trouble gonna carry me to my grave.
You have been listening to Mississippi Freedom Summer, a Pacifica Archives retrospective. Produced by Earl O'Farrey with Greg Golden. Engineered by Kevin Gallagher on Q Studios. Special thanks to Musinda Mayapimbi, Professor John Henry Clark, and Dr. Charlene Mitchell Kernan. Funding provided by the National Endowment for the Humanities. I'm your narrator, Murray Wagner.
I'm gonna get drunk, I'm gonna walk all over town. Lord, you talk about trouble, I've had all my days. Trouble. Seem like trouble gonna carry me to my grave.
Give us the ballot, and we will make of this nation a better nation, and we will make the American dream a reality.
You're listening to From the Vault, an original Pacifica Radio Archive series that brings our history out of the vault and onto the radio.
I was walking down the street, just couldn't keep from crying. As I'm walking down the street, just couldn't keep from crying. The girl I love, she was on my mind. Lord, the police arrest me, putting me in jail. Police arrest me, putting me in jail. I didn't have nobody to come and go my bail. Well, they talk about trouble I've had all my days. Trouble, had all my days.
bleed trouble came into my grave.